I think it takes a special kind of a patience to work with the public. It's just insane, you know? You have to have a special tolerance for social banter. You ever get sick of social banter? You ever pulled this one? Hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? And you feel like a complete dork. Yeah? Somebody did that recently? Tonight, maybe? Why does that happen? That's, you know, hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Like you didn't hear it just 3 seconds previous. I remember I used to be a food server. I was a waiter at a gourmet restaurant. Tuxedo. Whole shot. And you go, hi, my name's Adam. I'm going to be your server this evening. And I realized, you know, would you like a cocktail or wine or something to start with? Blah, 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 blah. And the whole spiel. Hey, and they're busy talking to each other, and you're, you know, like a robot that comes up and they, hi, my name's R2D2, you know, may I help you? May I be of service to you today, master? You know, but whatever, you know, and I thought, this is really crazy. So, well, some people were in there, and I walked up and I said, hi, my name's Genghis Khan, I'm going to be your service this evening, and they didn't bat an eye, you know, Genghis Khan serving them this evening, until I brought back their appetizers, and then one of them went, did you say Genghis Khan, you know? Genghis Khan? Yeah, Genghis Khan. But just blind, mindless sort of a thing. I had a professor at school, and when people ask him how he was doing, he'd say, lousy, thanks, how are you? And they go, oh, that's great. You know? I say, I'm really depressed today. Fine, how are you, you know? And they go, wait a minute, did you say lousy? Most of the time, they didn't even ask. What's wrong with this picture? What is it that makes you just, at the end of a day of social banter, go, I don't want to say one more, hi, how you doing, fine, how you doing? What's wrong? What's missing? It's artificial, isn't it? It's just uniform. There's zero meaning to it. Have you ever been going through a horrible time in your life? Just the worst. You're seriously considering, you know, moving to Afghanistan and becoming a monk or something. And someone says, how you doing? You say, fine, thanks. Lying right through your teeth. How many of you did that tonight? Huh? What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong is that there's really no genuine touching of lives at all. There's nothing going on. It's just jive. It's empty. There's no genuine concern. We speak without meaning. We hear without comprehension. We converse without caring at all. I remember reading of a seminary student in Texas that he lived with five guys in a house. He was one of the roommates. And after like 4 or 5 days, someone said, hey, where's so-and-so? Well, I don't know. Where is he? I don't know. Looked around, and they found that he had hung himself in the basement and had been there for 4 days before someone noticed. And you wonder why. Hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Lousy, thanks. Oh, that's neat. We fail to pay attention. Turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now dig, this is just the opposite. Normally we hear something, go, oh, that's great, bye. Word comes to the church in Jerusalem that things are happening at Antioch, and they say, let's help them. They look at the implications, and they say, wow, is people getting saved up there? Let's send somebody. Let's give them some help. And they drag Barnabas up, and they go, Barnabas, we got a job for you. You're sharing today in Antioch. Boom, you know, off he's gone. They send him to them. And look, carrying on, verse 22. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a large company was added to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem saw an opportunity to act and sent a man who would act because he was full of grace and the Spirit of the Lord. And he went and he served. They saw the chance to do something and they did it. Quite a switch from what we normally go through. We're normally sitting fat and we go, oh, that's great. I'm glad something's happening up over there. Hope they make it. But they took the opportunity to act. When word reached Nehemiah, some of you know who Nehemiah was, some of you don't, but that's cool. Nehemiah was basically the chief of staff, like the White House chief of staff, for the emperor of the Persian Empire. And some people came to him, and he said, hey, what's the state of Jerusalem? And they said, it's in bad shape. It's twisted, it's burnt, everything's broken down. You know what I'd do? I go, oh, bummer. Oh, well, what's for lunch? You know what he did? He got on his knees, he fasted, and he prayed. He said, God, give me the ability to do something, and he quit his job, the cushiest job in the empire, and went there and rebuilt the walls. I find there's a great difference between these guys and a lot of who we are a lot of times. The Jerusalemites, Nehemiah, Barnabas. You remember Barnabas was the guy, the same guy who was the first one to say, look, I'll sell all my land and give it to the church so that everyone can have. And it started a tradition there. Everyone would sell their stuff and give to people. He goes up there and they give of their resources to help these others. That's his nickname. Barnabas means son of consolation. So much that he had a nickname. He did this. I think we spend our resources just to get more resources, don't we? I'll be this person's friend if I can benefit from the transaction. I want to gain. I want this person to be near me because they increase my social standing. I feel good when I'm around so-and-so, so I'll gravitate toward them. You ever looked around and said, who can I serve? Who can I love? Who can I make feel good when they're around me? Now, I come in as a great big sponge to church, and I'll invest if I can get more out of it. But give? Forget it. I'm here to invest. I want to gain more resources with my resources. There's a Shekinah Brothers song. Some of you know the Shekinah Brothers, Tom Dunn's band. It starts out like this. Say, friend, how you doing? I've been really going through it. The response is, you don't say. You don't say. It says, yeah, they cut my hours at the Taco Palace, and I don't think I'm going to, oh, you don't say. You don't say. Is I lost my bags and all my money, all I possess, and that's not funny. You don't say. You don't say. living a life of jive. You don't say you've been going in circles all the time. And we do that. Always, hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Our resources are for us. And we hoard them. We make sure that we get more. These people were into Jesus instead. Read on, if you would, verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people, and in Antioch the disciples were for the first time called Christians. These people were into Christ. Now, Christian is just like universal term to us now. But it means someone who's into Christ. Like we say rockers, you know, there's rockers, there's headbangers. They're into banging heads, you know. There's surfers. What are they into? Surfing. They get their name from what they're into, right? There's, you know, students, very few of which attend here. But then there are people who go to school, many of whom attend here. They get their distinction from what they do. These people you could call Christers. They were Christers. Christians. That's what they were into. They're into God. So much so that people looked at them and goes, oh, that's one. You know, you ever look at someone and you go, oh, pff. You see him driving along in his Volkswagen, you know, microbus with the long hair and the Rastafari on the back and two long boards on top, and you go, that is a surfer. Or that's a beach bum, you know. You can tell by the expression of their lives what they're into. You can talk with someone for 5 minutes and know what they're into. Oh, that person's a bodybuilder. You can tell by the expression of their arms, you know. Kitrin, I love you. These people were Christers. They were Jesusers. People looked at their lives after a year. These people were living around. They go, that's a Jesuser. That's a Christer. You know? Not Chrysler, Doug. Christer. I wonder, can people look at our lives and go, that's a Jesuser. That's a full-on Jesuser, man. They stink of Jesus every time they walk in the room, you know? You just taste Jesus on them. Every time you turn around, that's all that's happening with this person. That's what they were into, and so they weren't into hoarding their resources. They were into living like Jesus. They were into the God stuff. It's a habit with these people. It's kind of, what do you do for recreation? Huh? Love on people. I'm into righteousness, man. Read a little bit on. Verse 27. Now in these days the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. Now here's a bummer sort of a situation take place. There's prophets around, and one day at church this guy stands up and says, hey, you know what the Lord told me? The Lord told me people are going to start starving around here. Now what would you do? Okay? What would you do? Someone stood up and went, you know, there's not going to be any food in the whole world. What would you do? Huh?
Say he's a lunatic.
Say he's a lunatic. Okay. What if you believed him? Go buy all the food you could and do what with it?
Hide it.
Hide it. Store it. Get me my little box of red wheat grain and, you know, my cubicle in the desert and my water purifier or whatever, you know. And I'm going to be a survivalist. Dig their response. Verse 29. And the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brethren who lived in Judea. There's going to be a great famine. Oh, dude, we got to watch out for our brothers. They might starve. What a switch. Isn't that funny? See, these people were Christers. These people were into Jesus, and they hear about a famine, and they go, oh, man, our brothers down in Palestine, they're for sure going to be hurting then, huh? Let's get some money together so we can store up for them. What a switch. It's the expression of a lifestyle. This they sent by the hand. And they did so, according to the elders, by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. They get their chance to give to the Jerusalemites now. I think we spend our resources getting more resources for us. I think we're at heart basically a very selfish people. I'm into God for me. I'm into church for me. I want more. They were very free with their material goods. They just weren't into getting more material goods. I heard Corrie ten Boom quoted by Chuck Swindoll. She said, "I try to keep a light touch on the things of this world because it hurts my fingers when God must pry them from my hand." Isn't that a good... Yeah, there's a lady who knows God, huh? Like, well, keep a light touch, it's not a problem. We're often deceived into believing that the accumulation of resources around us somehow gives us freedom. Well, now I have X amount of dollars, so I'm free. Real freedom is not to need it. We're deceived into thinking that the more material goods we have around us, the more of a somebody we are. Real identity is not to need it. Try and prop up our lives with all the things that we can accumulate. Oh, I can't give that away. Nope, that makes me somebody. Don't touch that. But if I give that stuff away, I won't have nice clothes to wear, and then I'll be nobody. There's a famine coming. Oh, I'd better get mine then, shouldn't I? I met this waitress once at a Denny's. Okay. Now, how many of you have ever been waiters or waitresses? Okay, what's your nightmare place to work? Denny's, of course. You get tips to the tune of about 30 cents an hour, you know? Not even that. That's on a fast day, okay? And you get really neat people to wait on. How many of you have worked at Denny's, okay? Yeah, okay. Real fun, isn't it? It's a scream, you know? Hey, this... It was the wildest gal I ever met. She was, pardon the characterization, but she was just classic. I mean, she was this big black lady, right? Just like, hi, how are you doing, you know? Wait, Christian, full on for God, right? Walks over to the table one time, my mom introduced me to her, actually, and starts telling me all about my life. It was wild, you know? Telling me all about ministry, and she doesn't know me from nobody, right? You know, oh, and the Lord's going to do this in your life and that in your life and, you know, in your ministry. I'm going, you don't know what I'm in the ministry, you know. She's going, yeah, I do. You know, we got to talking and somehow it came up. Yeah, she says, oh, it's been so much fun. You know, like, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? But, you know, she says, yeah, it's been so much fun. The Lord gave me $60,000 and he let me keep enough to buy myself a car. So I bought myself a used Datsun. Okay. Said, the rest, he told me where I should give it away. It has been so much fun. Now, if it were me, it'd be, yeah, God really blessed me with $60,000, and here is how I'm going to invest it so I can get $150,000. So I can invest that and get $300,000. She's going, yeah, the Lord gave me the money because I could give it away. And I asked him if I could have a new car. I remember saying that. I asked him if I could have a new car. He said, yeah, I could keep enough. She took $4,000 and bought a car. And gave 56 away. Yeah, because people needed it in the body. What an indictment. We say, yeah, I only make, you know, X amount a month. I got to be careful with my resources. Make sure I have enough for me. These disciples were Christians, and everybody knew it. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And they gave it away. Turn over, if you would, to James chapter 2. I find that often we tell God, "But I have legitimate uses for my resources, things that are important." Let me tell you that giving it away is a legitimate use of your resources. And that's something that's important. James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or a sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Where's our faith? "Oh, I'll pray for you." Now that's neat. It's good that you pray for someone. That's probably the most powerful thing you can do. But what are you going to do with your life too? "But my time is valuable. My money is valuable." It is to God too. The thing is that it requires seeing. It requires noting the implications. It requires hearing more than, "Hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, how you doing?" It means looking past the social banter and looking to touch someone's life rather than simply being self-consumed with your own resources. It means giving appropriate help. I find it kind of interesting that the Jerusalem church gave a teacher to the people in Antioch because that's what they needed, and the people in Antioch gave money to the people in Jerusalem because that's what they needed. A lot of times we get on binges and we say, "We're going to go help people," and we help them with what we want to help them with. You know, one time my dad decided he was going to help me, and he went and took all, I had a pile of notes on my desk. Big pile of notes. I have a piling system. And it was all in chronological order. He decided he was going to help me, and so he stacked it all. I came home, and it was all put in piles according to the size of the paper. It's like doing a library by color. "Oh, what color book was it?" "Well, I don't know." "Sorry, I can't help you." I never got that system straightened out. He had helped me his way. Hadn't bothered to take the time and look into my life and see what I may have needed. He just decided that it was time for him to help, and so he helped his way. But it takes more time to see and to look into someone's life and say, what is it that they might need? I find that we as Americans have an awful problem of throwing money at people. "Oh, here." Sometimes that's not what fixes things. But it takes extra time and effort to say, what's in your life that needs touching that I can move from my life to yours? Means aggressive attention. If you don't think it's possible, remember the last time you had a crush on someone and you looked for a chance to have any interaction with them. You're hoping that they stumble or drop something. Okay? You steal their books and sabotage their things so that you can get an excuse to give them attention. Okay? Be that way with one another. Love one another fervently. It says, and in Ecclesiastes 11:1, it says, "Cast your bread upon many waters. Someday it'll come back." That's what it says in Ecclesiastes 11, and I think the Jerusalemites found that out when they sent someone, and later on they got resources back. Okay? Now comes the rub. Do it this week. I dare you to give away something that's of value to you to someone else this week. Keep a light grasp on the things of this world. Give away something that's valuable to you to someone else this week. We'll see how it works. Let's pray. Father God, teach us how to see with your eyes. Make our Christianity genuine concern, not social banter. Father God, move us. Teach us to live as you lived. In the name of Christ, amen. All right. A couple of announcements. March 22nd through 24th is the conference.